This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, we're only a couple of days away from our top 100 calls of the year. First ever countdown of talk show calls ever done in the history of the medium. And we'll be doing it on July the 4th. We'll be counting down the top 100 calls that came into our show over the last year, starting at number 17. Well, I can't get 100 calls into 3 hours. What do you think? You think I'm David Blaine? Do you think I'm Daryl Hannah? No, I'm just Phil Hendry, and I'm running 17 big calls in our top 100 calls. You'll figure it out. You'll see how it all shakes down when you tune in to the Phil Hendry Show July 4th and 5th, a special encore presentation of those top 100 calls, and we'll be counting them down, baby. Did we ever get Casey Kasem to do the liners, Janice, or did he just shine us on? Okay, the official word is, even though Casey will talk to me at parties, he couldn't care less, right? Because I saw Lori Johnson, who's his producer downstairs, and she looked over at me, wiping the last of the Budweiser foam from her lips, and she said, I think Casey's going to, I got to go. And so that was a nice long conversation we had. I'm fully expecting that it'll be me pretending I'm Casey. I don't know. I don't care. It's fine. We got Craig going number one into a reverb unit. So that'll work fine. So that's July 4th. What else is happening on July 4th? Well, apparently we're going to get hit by terrorists. Yeah, that's what the stock market believes. And that's what a lot of very nervous individuals in the press, in the electronic media, in perhaps your neighborhood, in your community center, that's what they'd have you believe. But you guys don't believe it. That's the sense we have here on the Phil Hendry Show, that ever since 9/11, if there's one blessing among possibly many blessings that have come out of the horrific events of 9/11, people have gotten so savvy to the way news is delivered. I have noticed, seriously, and this is coming from the ultimate talk radio cynic, I've noticed an actual elevation in the ability of people to decipher, to sift information since 9/11. I've noticed that people now recognize the hysteria that's kind of fed their way, or that's sort of sent their way by the media. So in other words, Fox and CNN and everybody else, they're still as hysterical and as nervous and as incontinent as they usually are. But people are backing away and sort of sifting through the information a little bit better than they used to. So when you talk to the average guy and you say, hey, what do you think? They're going to be a terror attack on July 4th? The answer is no. Meanwhile, I got Shepard Smith and everybody else there wetting their pants talking about DEFCON 6, threat level yellow. You better believe it's yellow. It's yellow all over Fox. Somebody get a mop. They're worried about everything. They're worried that Osama bin Laden is the next best thing to Spider-Man. He can do anything, anywhere, at any time. He can leap tall buildings at a single bound. He can shave that beard and look like O.J. He can do whatever he wants to do because they're just mysterious. They're spooky. They're creepy. They're the Addams Family. Now, here's an organization of people that got lucky. And when I say lucky, I do mean lucky. They killed 3,000 people in one of the most desperate, horrific, murderous acts the world has ever known. But, yeah, they got lucky. Now, they haven't been able to pull one thing off since then, other than run away from our guys up there in the mountains of eastern Afghanistan. They haven't been able to amount to so much as a wet fart. We got a guy named Abu Zubayr who's getting rubber hosed as we speak. He had a little note from Osama on him that the CIA read, and apparently it said, you know, if anything happens to me, baby, press on. So already in late December, Osama knew that his days were numbered. And as you all know on this radio program, we've been saying it for months, that guy's as dead as a doornail. That guy is, he's sleeping with the fishes. You know what's going to happen on July the 4th, if anything? Some copycat psycho American. You mark my words. Some nut like that Helder punk, or whoever else is going to go out with a bomb or a pipe bomb, or he's going to blow up a mailbox or something, and the stock market will drop another 200 points, and there'll be a lot of people wringing their hands nervously, and it won't amount to anything. But how are you going to, you know, how are you going to trust or tell these guys anything, these guys that are reporting this stuff? You just remember what I told you. Anything happens on July the 4th, it's going to be some screwball from good old America, because when push comes to shove, if you think about it, most of the terrorism that's been committed on American soil has been committed by Americans. 99.999%. And by the way, 9/11 isn't the first terrorism we've had, and the World Trade Center wasn't the first terrorism we've had on this soil. Anybody ever heard about that church bombing in Birmingham in 1963? Burning down the houses of black people in the 50s? Blowing up synagogues? Ku Klux Klan Those guys wrote the book on it. So who said this is the first time that we've ever been attacked by a bunch of scum? So most of the stuff that goes on in this country is perpetrated by good old-fashioned, salt-of-the-earth psychos who were born and raised right here. And if anything happens on the 4th, I'm telling you right now, I'm 99.999, forget it. I'm 100% sure it's an American that'll pull it off, not some towel wrapper who's, hiding out in a cave in Afghanistan, is still looking to see if there's, is there any more sardines left in the can? I'm telling you. Was I wrong about the anthrax? Did I tell you that was domestic? Yes. Everybody else was screaming about how, bin Laden, he's got all kinds of tentacles, he's doing it all, he's got anthrax, he's got a nuclear bomb. I told you guys it was domestic. Now I'm telling you nothing's going to happen on the 4th. If anything does, I got a plane to catch on Monday. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, we're going to talk with Art Griego, a retired commercial pilot, about airport security, specifically the two pilots that were arrested in Miami on Monday getting on an aircraft drunk. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Art Griego's joined us. Art is a former commercial pilot. And Art, what about these two drunk pilots that got on the plane in Miami? It was a America West flight, and apparently they were both legally drunk.
Well, first of all, I don't want the public to overreact. It's not an unusual thing for a pilot, especially since 9/11, especially after all the attention that security has received after 9/11, to try to relax. You know very well that people get into their cars after having a beer or a glass of wine, and they drive around that way with their children and other people in the car with them. But the crucifixion of the American pilot and the crucifixion that's ongoing of the American security apparatus at our airports is indicative of what you were just talking about a few minutes ago in your program, Phil, and that is hysteria among passengers. And if you want to point to the single reason why we have got a security problem today, it's because of the passengers. It's got nothing to do with the other.
Well, I mean, you can say, yeah, it's passengers that are bringing illegal things onto airplanes. You could also say it's terrorists.
But it's also passengers that are constantly harping on the crew of the aircraft about their food, about their breakfast. Why did they miss lunch? When are we arriving? Why are we late? Where are we right now? Eventually, you're going to see a stress level build up among airline workers, and it is indicative, I think, of that these two guys, two pilots, as far as I know, very good pilots, wanted to have a couple of drinks and relax before they get on an aircraft.
Well, you don't accept that, do you?
I beg your pardon?
Do you accept pilots drinking before they fly?
Phil, let me tell you something. It's the pilots are getting crucified. It's only the pilots that people are leaning on.
Well, then why do you think that is? Because they're drinking.
I don't know why it is. I can't for the life of me figure it out, but the crucifixion of today's pilots is out of control. We didn't cause 9/11. Terrorists did. And what we have proposed constantly to the FAA, constantly, is that we have an acceptable blood alcohol limit for pilots the same way you have an acceptable blood alcohol limit for motorists, 0.08.
And so you want pilots to be able to have a pop before they get on the plane?
I'm saying to you, Phil, is there not an acceptable blood alcohol limit for motorists?
Well, there's an acceptable blood alcohol limit for motorists because they're not publicly transporting hundreds of people.
They've got kids in their car. They have family members in their car. They have friends in their car. Sometimes they are they're carpooling. Okay.
Well, what guy is having a couple of drinks in the morning before he carpools to work? I mean,
well, come on, Phil. How naive are you?
All right. So I suppose if the guy does, he's got a problem.
Look, pilots already do have a drink. I'm proposing that we make it legal.
Now, I want you to be clear with me. Are you telling me that pilots are regularly flying after having several cocktails?
Well, now you're going to hold my feet to the fire. Is that?
Yeah, I want you to tell me right now, are you saying that commercial pilots are drinking before they get aboard an aircraft?
I will tell you what I did, okay?
You go ahead.
It was not uncommon for me, and I flew commercially for 25 years, it was not uncommon for me to enjoy a light drink before I went on a flight.
And how far of a flight are we talking about?
We're talking about just a hop. It could be a hop of San Francisco to L.A., Miami to New York.
And you'd have yourself a couple of belts.
Let me tell you something, Phil, and understand this and understand it clearly. You get on a plane, the first thing you can hear through the door of the cockpit is this low, kind of a low muttering. And when you open the cockpit door, it's everybody, all the passengers, at the same time, yelling, screaming, wanting this, wanting that, wanting to use the can, wanting to use the...
What has this got to do with you drinking? I mean, these are passengers who are demanding a certain level of service.
Well, wait a minute. What they have a right to demand is for me to get them from point A to point B. They don't have a right to scream and yell about their peanuts and their drinks and their food and their pillows and their blankets and whether their headrest goes back and whether it doesn't go back and can they get out of the emergency aisle and can they use the head and using that head when they got the... If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. You don't use the head when the drink cart is in service. You don't use the head when the meal cart is in service. And every time I say that, I'll open the door and look back. Sure enough, there's some guy trying to use the can. Even right after I said it, I'll open the door, and I said to Charlie Swadsworth, who was a co-pilot that flew with me, I said, look at this. I made the announcement, ladies and gentlemen, please stay seated, especially while the carts are in service so our flight attendants can give you good service. And then I said, watch this, Charlie. I opened the door. Sure enough, there's two jackasses trying to go use the aft can. Okay? I think the time has come for passengers to take responsibility for some of the terrorism that's happened. And I'm trying to say...
Are you telling me that all of that stuff led you to take a couple of drinks?
Yes. And it leads other pilots to take drinks, too. Because it is an absolute, utter irritation and aggravation to any pilot trying to fly a plane safely. And if a pilot needs to calm himself by having a couple of pops, then I say, so be it. Motorists have acceptable alcohol blood level. Why not pilots?
All right, we're talking with Art Griego, a former commercial pilot who... And you made a statement, I'm not going to let you get away with, passengers are responsible for terrorism.
I'm not saying the passengers conduct...
No. You made the statement. I'm gonna ask you about it. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Two pilots on America West apparently were taken off of their planes at Miami International Airport yesterday because they were drunk.
What do you mean by drunk, too? I'd like to have a definition there.
I mean they were legally drunk.
All right, so they were staggering or what?
I don't know if they were staggering. I guess what they're saying is that they were...
Because when you say a man is drunk, what you're saying is the guy's got no control over his motor skills.
Well, the story says that they took the test show, they were legally drunk.
All right, legally drunk is different from being staggering, fall down, I can't pass a field sobriety test drunk. You understand that?
All right, so the guys were legally drunk. Their blood alcohol limit, or their blood alcohol was above whatever the hell it was supposed to be. You're talking about a legal blood alcohol limit.
Yeah, I'm talking about legal blood alcohol. I'm saying give these guys the opportunity to have a couple of drinks. 9/11 has been more pressure on the nerves of pilots, and the only guys that are getting crucified are pilots, the security workers at the airport, and the...
Well, let's talk about the security workers. How are they getting crucified?
Because everybody's blaming them. You got every passenger bringing every piece of luggage. They got carry-on bags. They've got steamer trunks. They've got huge suitcases. They've got every kind of garbage. Some of them got pet cages. They got cat cages. Some of them are bringing on bags of things that they bought, souvenirs, toys, etc., etc., etc. If you got these people to stop bringing so much crap on the plane and start leaving some of it at home or in their hotel room, we wouldn't have the security problems we're having, all right?
And well, you saw that it said 25% or something of these guns or fake guns got by.
Yeah, they're going to get by as long as you got some guy and his wife from South Bend, Indiana, bringing nothing but crap from their vacation on the plane. Now, what we're asking, and we're asking, I think, respectfully, is that passengers cease being the pigs that they can be and start being the responsible passengers that...
Boy, you are endearing yourself, man, to the people that...
No, I'm asking that they do what they should do and endear themselves to me, the pilot. I'm the guy that's flying the plane.
No, and I'm saying right now, you're calling your passengers pigs and they're bringing crap on board. Is that right?
You want to see some of the crap. Some guy was down in Tahiti and bought himself a back scratcher. He had a drink called a back scratcher. It's a wooden back scratcher that he got out of a drink, a cocktail. Now, this is the garbage that they're bringing with them.
And well, again, I'm saying this. You have a public relations problem here, pal. You got pilots that are drunk. You got security people that are not checking the bags properly. And
no, wait. You're saying that I got to make the passengers happy.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
But I'm telling you, look, the airline industry almost went under after 9/11. And why? Because passengers bringing crap on the plane. They're bringing a back scratcher. They're bringing extra jock straps. I don't know what they're doing. Tennis rackets, golf clubs. The only people that need to be kept happy in the airline industry, Phil, are pilots. I'm a pilot. I don't need to keep them happy. And
why should we keep you guys happy, okay? The passengers pay.
You want to know why you should keep me happy?
The passengers are the ones that pay. They're the ones that come on board.
You want to know why you should keep me happy?
Yes.
Because if you don't keep me happy, guess what happens to the airplane? It doesn't fly anymore. It doesn't fly.
Are you saying you'll crash it?
No, I'm not saying I'll crash. I'm saying, in other words, that the pilot is the individual who stands between you and everlasting perdition. The pilot is the one that stands between you and St. Peter at the gates. Then I would keep me happy. And if I had to look down the aisle and see 20 to 30% of the passengers in sombreros or wearing some kind of flowered lei, or wearing the Chinese hats that they wear, like they got it, they were running around in a rickshaw in Hong Kong, or I gotta look down the aisle and I see them wearing Letterman's jackets, or bandanas, or scarves, or one of those fruit hats that they get down there in South America, I swear to God, I would rather fly it into the side of a mountain than land it and have to see it again as I'm standing there, because you have to understand something, so we have to stand there at the door and say, Thank you. One sombrero and one fruit hat after the next. Thank you. Yeah, thanks a lot. Jesus.
And all of this, you're telling me, Art, and I've known you for a few years, all of this you're telling me causes you and other pilots to want to take a drink.
Yes, and what I'm saying is, after 9/11, we got more pressure on us than ever before. We are asking that individuals give us the same freedom that motorists have, acceptable blood alcohol level.
0.08.
I would also ask passengers, if you don't want the security people at the airport to miss things as they check for guns and bombs and knives and brass knuckles and atomic bombs, then don't bring all of that crap that you pick up on your vacation and that you bring from home. And I'll tell you something else, too, if I could just say this. And I say this, Phil, with all due respect. Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea at all of what a baby smells like after a six-hour flight? In other words, what it's...
All right. Well, they're trying to change the diapers. You got changing rooms there in the can. And
yeah. Well. Okay. Thank you. We got them. Use them. Is all I ask.
All right. Art Griego. He's a professional retired commercial pilot who says that the drunk pilots and the lack of security is ultimately the responsibility of the passengers who distract, bring too much luggage, and otherwise make it a very nerve-wracking flight for the pilot, for the security people, and for the flight attendants. And if you want the pilots to be a little bit better at the job that they do, give them an acceptable blood alcohol rate. If you want the security workers to do a better job, then don't bring so much, as he put it, crap with you when you travel. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Art Griego, retired commercial pilot. We'll be back on The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
The idea that pilots should be allowed to drink is the subject of our conversation here with Art Griego, and also the idea that it is passengers who ultimately cause terrorist attacks because they bring so much crap with them that the security people can't check the bags. Now, you made a comment that you should be allowed to have a drink before you fly. Is that right? And you're a retired pilot.
Well, everybody needs certain things to function in their job. Mechanics need tools. Technicians need computers. Actors need a stage. Pilots need a drink. And I don't know how else to put it.
Pilots need a drink.
Yes. And I can tell you something. At 45,000 feet, when you got a flight attendant coming in and saying, Jesus, they won't sit down, they won't do this, they won't do that, and it's at that point, I'm at 45,000 feet, I've just hit autopilot, you tell me, a dry martini with onions and a salad bar, a little dirty, you telling me that's bad?
If I'm flying a commercial jet, if I've got I don't know how many people back there?
You're telling me that a dry martini is bad with a salad bar and dirty.
And I don't know what you mean by a salad bar.
A salad bar is with onions and with an olive, and dirty is with olive juice. What are you telling me that's bad, huh?
No, it sounds pretty refreshing, but if I'm flying a commercial jet...
Why are we being crucified? Pilots and security personnel are being nailed to a cross. We have had a crown of thorns shoved down on our heads, and we have been given vinegar to drink. Vinegar. And I say it's got to stop.
All right, 1-8, and the passengers have caused the terrorism.
They haven't caused it. It's just the, all the crap they bring on the plane. It makes it difficult.
Yeah, it makes it difficult to look for the bombs. Here is Winifred.
Company that he flew for stops his pension if they recognize his voice.
Winifred, hold on, dear. You're just on the air. Say that again.
I hope the company that he formerly flew for withholds his pension because... Any pilot that flies
under
the influence of alcohol is an absolute disgrace to the aviation industry.
Everybody who drives a car is allowed to have a couple of drinks.
And not everybody drinks.
But some people do, and a pilot needs to numb a little bit before he walks to the cabin and listens to, with all due respect, Winifred.
I don't know what type of airline you were flying for, but I've never been on a flight, you know, where people were behaving that badly.
Oh, okay.
Then your flight attendants are obviously not doing their job.
Are you flying the plane?
No, I'm not flying the plane.
Then you don't know the effect it has on me. When
obviously have psychological problems.
Wait. You're telling me you've never seen somebody try to use the can while they had the drink cart or the food cart in the aisle?
Well, perhaps it becomes
Now the truth comes out.
Have you ever had a problem with your bladder?
Maybe the truth comes out now, Winifred. And when I tell them to sit down, and then they purposefully disobey me and get up to use the toilet.
Oh, so we've got to obey you all the time.
Yes, I happen to... Have you heard of federal...
So we pay your salary, we pay for our ticket, and we've not to move because the pilot says you can't go
to
the toilet.
No, that's true. When I put on the fasten seatbelt, Winifred, that means you are to return to your seat and fasten your seatbelt. You know that. You've flown enough.
Yes, I know that.
All right. So if you don't do that, Winifred, then guess what? You're in trouble with me, and that's a federal violation. Now, I realize you're older...
That's fine, but obviously it's a federal violation also if you're driving under, flying under the influence.
Federal law mandates... You obey me. I don't have to obey you.
Of course, but only if you're sober.
And also, Winifred, you being older, you know that you may be a little bit incontinent. Try draining that bladder before you draining the bladder before you get on the plane.
No, it's nothing to do with incontinence, because people can pick up viruses.
I bet you're one of those passengers that just has to bring that ukulele back from Hawaii, aren't you? And because
goods. Having traveled the world, I have no need for all of the junk from China.
All the junk from China?
Exactly.
Oh, what a racist.
All right, listen, thank you very much. Sue, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. I'm a pharmacist, and I deal with the public all the time as well. And believe me, I have some doozy customers. But I certainly would not deal with my pressure on the job by popping a few pills while I'm at work, dipping in the candy jar, nor going to work impaired by alcohol.
Well, Sue, the difference between your job and mine is that if you mess up on the job, you don't kill 300 people.
We could kill one or two people.
It's not the same thing.
Well, what's
if
the
I
difference
mess up on the
if
job,
I kill...
I need to have it calm, cool, and smoothed out. I need everybody to shut up and sit down. That's all I'm asking.
And I'd like some of my I'd like to say to some of my customers when I'm at work, shut up and sit down. When I have a line of five people,
right, but,
and I've got somebody butting the line saying, can you ring up my pantyhose? But I can't.
If you are distracted by people in line at your job, 300 people aren't burned alive. If I'm distracted on my job, 300 people go into a cornfield.
So
I think there's a little bit of a difference there, Sue.
But you're trying to tell me that it's okay if I kill one person because I'm distracted on my job versus you killing 300. One life is equivalent to me as 300 lives.
Well, that's fine. But I think that 300 lives is more important than whoever you kill with your, you know, you gave them too much Benadryl or whatever it is.
Oh, I don't think so. There's
yeah,
a lot more deaths with pharmacists being interrupted.
You know, half of the stuff that you guys push into a bottle is aspirin anyway. I mean, do we even know that?
Well, let's not impugn what this woman does for a living.
Well, I don't know what she's talking about me.
Well, but see, you're missing my point, though.
Yeah, you know, you've heard the name Kevorkian.
Well, exactly,
yeah,
and
some of those people are asking for it.
See, that's outrageous.
Man.
That's really outrageous. I hope your pharmacist is not listening on the phone
now.
No,
man, what I'm saying is,
what do you mean some of those people are asking for it?
Mr. Andrew, you find it funny, and this lady may find it funny, but I'll bet you Jack Kevorkian got into the business that he got into because he was so sick and tired of listening to them, he couldn't stand it any longer.
That's Jack Kevorkian, but I'm talking about this issue. Pharmacy is very stressful. If you've ever stood in line at a pharmacy and you've heard the phone ring...
And you've never slipped a couple of something into a bottle because you couldn't take it any longer.
No.
You go into
the back room and you take a deep breath and you count to 10. You don't sit there and have a couple cocktails in
the
bathroom.
You could hurt somebody, though, couldn't you, by slipping something into the bottle that shouldn't be there. They take one, and guess what? They're done.
Why would I do that?
First of all, she'd go to jail, okay?
Well,
exactly.
How are they going to put you in jail?
Because they'll trace the medicine back to the bottle.
And do you know? And it would be medical negligence.
Oh, well, let me tell you this.
Involuntary manslaughter. If you bring your plane down, you're dead. You're not. You know, you're not going to jail.
Yeah,
you're going to
so
be dead.
I'm not going to do that on purpose. But you would. I don't have time to count to 10, Sue. I'm flying a jet. I'm going to tell you one thing. You're welcome on my flight anytime. I wish you'd hand out some wrong prescriptions to some of the passengers I fly around.
I'm telling
because
you.
Some of them are begging for it. They are asking for it.
And you don't think my customers are begging for it? It's crazy.
Well, what are you guys talking about? Killing people because they won't sit down in their seats or they...
I'm not going to kill anyone.
You're
and
not.
The thing is why would I want to jeopardize my career by filling prescriptions
that's the
while
thing.
I'm impaired?
And you would jeopardize your career, Art, which, by the way, you're retired. Do I dare ask...
Don't even go there, okay?
All right, but how are you retired?
Yes, I am. And I flew for 30 years, and I drank before a few of those flights, and I never got popped. And a lot of guys do.
Well, you never got popped because nobody ever checked on you.
And that other thing about airport security, so here comes that last busy broad that last lady that I was talking to, and she's packing through the ukuleles, the macadamia nuts. She's bringing in all kinds of crap she found on the beach. And it is distracting a security guard from the nuclear bomb that some guy with a towel on his head is bringing in just behind her. So that's what I'm talking about.
The nuclear bomb.
That's right.
All right, listen.
By the way, Sue, what's the going rate for roofies? But anyway...
Yeah, that's real funny, man. That's real great. Impugn everybody else's profession because you happen to be having a hard time these days there in the airline industry.
Phil, it is a tough industry to compete in these days. And I'm telling people, if you want to get from point A to point B, and you want to do it in the air, and not by way of ambulance or a body parts van, then I would suggest that you allow me to have a beer or two before I fly.
Well, I won't be flying with you anytime soon, man.
So you're not going to have lunch with me in Santa Barbara next week? You said you would.
Well, okay. Art Griego. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
With me is Art Griego, retired pilot. And why are we having such problems in the air? Because pilots need to have a couple of drinks. The passengers are the reason why there's terrorism. Jennifer, go ahead. You're on The Phil Hendry Show.
Which is not what I said.
Yes,
hey,
that
Phil,
is what
I
you said, sir.
Conversation with you, actually, because I don't want to get in a power struggle with this.
We need to have a three-way conversation here. So, if whatever you direct to me, you need to direct to the guest.
Well, I don't know why she doesn't want to talk to me. I'm the guest.
I know you're the guest.
Okay, what's the guest's name?
You want to talk to me, ma'am? Okay, can ask me what my name is. Don't talk about me like I'm not here. Okay.
First of all, I'm a school teacher, and I have to say that there's you're commenting about the airline profession being
so stressful.
It bothers
me. My wife used to talk about me like I wasn't there.
All right, I know about your wife, and I know you have a broken marriage. Go ahead.
Well.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Thank you. I would have to say that there's a great number of jobs that include a heavy amount of stress, with teaching being one of them.
Are you guys trying to compare teaching and being a pharmacist and somebody emptying the quarters out of the merry-go-round? That's the same. That's the same as me being a pilot.
Oh,
you know how the guys with the box cutters got on board because the idiot ahead of him was coming back from Grand Cayman, bringing home a statue of a rain god in a grass skirt, and the next thing you know, we got ourselves a problem.
What do you mean, the guy ahead of him?
Those guys with the box cutters got on those planes because there's some guy ahead of him that security's got to check who's got a lei, and he's got a walking stick, and he has a robe that he got from Epcot. That's what I'm talking about. No wonder the guy misses all the nuclear weapons, whatever the hell these ragheads are bringing on there. And forgive my language because my wife is Arabian, but I just, her in-laws, I have Palestinian in-laws, and they drive me out of my mind. That's why I'm nervous more than anything else.
I understand that. We can dispense with the raghead thing. Here is Robin on The Phil Hendry Show. Robin, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say I can't believe that you're even talking like this. I mean, everybody, no matter what kind of job they do, has stress in their life. But that doesn't...
I'll say to you what I've said to 58 different callers. It's not the same as flying an airplane.
You know, okay? whether you fly an airplane or...
What do you do?
Any kind of... Hey... I work for a prosecutor's office.
Oh, yeah,
you know what?
Stress.
I'm glad
yeah.
I do, because we prosecute people like you.
You know,
and thank
Robin,
God that
I
there's
do
people
believe.
No, you talk. You let me finish.
I don't doubt you've killed a lot of people on your job.
Oh, that's real nice.
Oh.
Huh? Well.
Go ahead, Robin. Go ahead.
Okay, well, all I have to say is everybody has stress in their job, in their life. It doesn't matter what. Everybody has stress. Everybody has problems.
Yeah, really?
I can have a stress.
What stress does a gardener have? I'm just curious. What stress does the guy who empties the quarters out of the merry-go-round have?
He's got bills to pay. That's his job. He's got bills. Maybe he doesn't make enough money.
What if he's single?
But all I'm saying, it doesn't matter if you're single. Everybody has bills. Everybody has commitments. Everybody has a life.
It's not necessarily stress.
That doesn't give you the right to have a couple beers and endanger people's lives any more than it gives me a right to go and get drunk on my way home from work, get behind the wheel of my car, and take somebody else's life into my own hands.
Well, the point
anymore
is that the point is, as I mentioned to Mr. Henry, that it's legal to drive. It's legal to drive under .08, but it's not legal for a pilot to fly under .08. It's
well,
not
you know,
fair.
My car is a little smaller than your airplane.
You know, and I'll tell you something, Robin. If I mess up, what stress does a meter maid have?
I don't know.
A meter maid that lives with her parents. What stress does she have?
Do you know what they say about men who buy big cars? I think maybe you're in your profession because you drive a big airplane and you have small equipment. Maybe that is your stress. Maybe that is your problem.
What did they say, Robin? Where did they say that? I've never heard that.
I'm just saying.
Robin, what?
What are you saying?
I think you sound like an insecure person. On sexual problems or something, and you're taking it out on the rest
of the
world.
Didn't take long with you, Robin, to get sex in the conversation, did it?
Well, no, I'm just saying. I think you have a lot of
time. In your regular profession. You know, when I'm flying an aircraft and I turn around and I'm going to look back there and I'm going to see there's Robin with her girlfriend coming back from Grand Cayman, and you're wearing one of those straw cane cutter. Oh, look, she hung up on me. God. I just as soon take that thing and fly it right into the fat part of Cuba.
Jesus. Art Griego, ladies and gentlemen, 1-800-449-8686, the number here, and that was a retired pilot talking, which I certainly don't think that he represents at all. And it, what?
You talk about your stress. How would you handle a plane load of 300 pigs with tiki lights and canned nuts?
You know what, Art? I'm glad you're retired. I echo the sentiments of everybody. I'm glad you're retired. Tiki lights and canned nuts. You know, one thing about... forget it. I won't even get on that. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. That was Art Griego, retired pilot. Well, it certainly is a continuing fascination. Security, airports, airplanes. We'll just keep worrying about it. As if the people who are afraid of flying didn't have enough to worry about in the first place. Now they have all of this. It's the Phil Henry Show with a reminder that you could pick up a backstage pass that gives you access to all of the classic material on our website. And our website is philhenryshow.com. With the backstage pass, you have the audio archives that go back some 8 years. You have our 30-day archive, which goes back, oddly enough, 30 days, every show that we've done over the last 30 days. There's also a listen live line, so you can listen to each and every show and listen to the classic, record-breaking, groundbreaking, cultural-breaking, culture-busting, whatever the hell, culture-clashing comedy that we do on our show each and every day. This is the radio show that everybody else in the radio business listens to, and now you can pretend like you're in radio too by listening to it as well. Not once, but twice, by not only listening on the radio, but also getting a backstage pass. It's only $6.95, and it entitles you not only to our audio archives, as I say, but you can go into our souvenir store and pick up the latest. The big hit craze now is the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police has been a real mess for the last 5 years, busting the Constitution every way that he can, harassing people, breaking the law, wearing a pith helmet with a blue armband, walking around with Bermuda shorts. He is a sad and sick individual. And now you can have the Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt with the slogan, "We take a peek over the shoulder of the police," on the back. And you can get it at our website. It's only $16 plus $8 shipping and handling. And if that's a little too much money for you, well, isn't that too bad? Orders are shipped within 2 to 4 weeks. I love that guy that called last week. "Hey, man, I'd love to have the shirt, but God, $18? You kidding me?" No, I'm not kidding you. Oh, excuse me, it was $16. Oh, okay, that's a break. If you can't afford that shirt, this soft economy has really got you by the short and curlies, Charlie. You better get out there and get yourself a little, what do we call it, upward mobility? Anyway, it comes in all sizes, small, medium, large, extra, extra large, jumbo, elephant, and kangaroo. It's all there, baby. Get it. PhilHenryShow.com. That's PhilHenryShow.com. Meanwhile, this is the Phil Henry Show, our number 1-800-449-8686. And don't forget, on the 4th of July, the top 100 calls of the year. The first talk radio countdown in history of the top calls. Not the top songs, the top calls. And you'll hear them in order July 4th weekend on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You got Blockhead on the Channel 11 Good Day or Rotten Hell LA, that early morning show we got here. Every town's got that Hello LA, Good Night Cleveland, Drop Dead Baltimore. So we got this Blockhead in the morning news on Channel 11, Tony McEwing. Let me explain something. This is a particular... It's a particular problem that I may have, perhaps others in my business do as well, but this really bothers me, and it's been bothering me for a long, long time. You people in the news business, TV news, you do news. You leave the shtick to qualified professionals such as myself. Leave the jokes and the shtick to people that do it for a living. When you're a newsman, just read the news with your big blockhead on the camera there, and then shut up and throw it back to Steve or those other two babes that he works with, the other two that think they're funny too, you know? So this morning this guy says, now a kid who's from the Los Angeles area was in Hawaii, and he got sucked into a blowhole, according to the news. You know what a blowhole is? No, it ain't that, Craig. I'm talking about a thing, the water that goes up through the rocks at the ocean, in Hawaii especially. The kid got killed. It's a local kid that got killed. And Blockhead McEwing says, just goes to show you, you shouldn't straddle a blowhole. Which I'd never thought about, and I imagine that Tony's probably tried it a few times himself. He's probably the guy that goes down that Viper at the Hurricane Harbor with his legs spread apart so he can get that nice little... little quick water enema up there, you know. Just do us all a big fat favor there, Blockhead. Keep the jokes, you know, just don't even do jokes. Just please, just don't even do the shtick. Just read the news. Where is it? How did this happen that news people are now doing giggles? You know what I'm talking about? Every time you flip on the news now, there's a guy there doing a couple of, he's doing a couple of one-liners with the weather chick, and he's doing some soft shoe with the sports guy, and they all think they're a riot. Now, I'll tell you, the guys on the Channel 5 Morning News, I did that show, they're funny guys. I don't know how they do it. They segue very deftly between murder and mayhem into laughs, but this guy, when he said this morning, I'm looking at this big, dumb blockhead. I just read the news, shut up, throw it to Steve, go in the back, get a little more powder on your ass, go paddle for a while, whatever you need to do, grab yourself a magazine and go in the bathroom, whatever you guys do there over at the Channel 11 News, just do it. And knock it off with the, it just goes to show you, you shouldn't straddle a blowhole. You know, that kid's a local kid. There could have been members of his family listening to your news, although I doubt it sincerely. But it just out of, you know, a possibility, just one of those once-in-a-lifetime possibilities that maybe one of them actually tuned into your newscast this morning and heard you say that. Fatso. 1-800-449-8686. We're taking just general kind of open phones now. 1-800-449-8686. Although, before I do that, I want to mention that we had a news story concerning the little kids that were killed in Detroit. Because the windows on the car were rolled up, the mother went in to a hair salon, and two little boys were killed as the result of being left in the car. Every single summer, there's a story like that. And you wanted to comment, sir?
I do, Phil, because I have a particular perspective on that, because I read the same story that you read.
Well, my screener says to me that you're a little weary about hearing stories about kids being locked in cars.
Yes, I am. Let me explain why. It happens. You try and protect the child from every kind of... Right now, we live in a society where we have Catholic priests who are molesting everything that moves. You've got the scum that took Elizabeth Smart, that poor little girl Van Damme down in San Diego, some pervert. Attacked this young lady, Chandra Levy, and all the other stories. You roll up your windows and you try and protect the kids, and now they decide you're wrong. You can't protect the kid. Just leave the windows wide open and let some scumbag reach in and slaughter your child while he sits in the car.
And well, these kids were suffocating. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you roll the windows up in a car and it's 90 degrees, I don't know what the temperature is like. Where are you calling from, sir?
I live in Phoenix, Arizona, Phil, and I know very well how hot it can get.
Oh, Phoenix, Arizona. Oh, yeah. This time of year, what is it, about 8 million degrees?
No, I understand that the children are suffocating, and I understand how hot it can get, but how is that the fault of the parents?
What do you mean? I mean, you can't be serious.
No, here is a loving mother who knew she was had to get her hair done, and she didn't want to come back to find her kids not there, so she locks the door so they won't be taken and butchered up by some priest or whoever else is out there. Now she comes back, the kids are dead, and you're telling me she's wrong about that. Parents can't control the weather any more than they can control just about anything else. The one thing they can control, Phil...
Now, are you telling me that this woman left her kids and...
The lady in Detroit left her kids in 80-degree temperature. That is not excessive. Now, I'll tell you again, Phil, I'm getting a little tired of hearing parents being vilified because a child was left in a car, and believe me, I had two children of my own. and I lost...
Now, were you talking to Jeff before you went on?
I was talking to a gentleman who was asking me...
All right, that's Jeff, my screener. And he mentioned you lost two children this way. Isn't that correct?
And that's one of the... Yes, I did, sir. And that's one of the reasons why I am sick of this endless conversation about this. I left my kids in the car while I went into a Home Depot. And you know how busy those places can get. I locked the doors. I rolled up the windows. I went inside. And when I came out... My kids were dead, but I will tell you this much. My wife and I adopted these two children. They were Romanian children that we had adopted through the program, and so they weren't my own, and we had done a lot for the kids. We had done about as much for them as we could, so...
Wait a minute. You locked two children. How old were the kids?
Don't say that I locked them.
All right, you were protecting two children. How old were they?
My kids were 6 and 7.
And they were adopted?
Right.
You roll up the windows, you keep them in the car, you came out, and they were dead.
Yes, they were. And you want to know why I rolled those...
That is negligence on your part.
Well, the jury ruled that it was involuntary, and...
Well, wait a minute. Whatever the jury ruled, you were negligent, and those children were killed as the result of your negligence. That's involuntary manslaughter, or however you want to put it, okay?
Well, then what am I supposed to do with two children that you're trying to protect with everything that you can against molesting priests, perverts everywhere? Children are being attacked, and the kids... let me tell you something, Phil. These kids died in their own car with their toys and all of the things that were familiar. Would you rather to have a child die at least in their own car with the windows rolled up, protected from a pervert, or would you want them to die in some dark trailer that is out in the middle of a swamp that some pervert keeps at the hands of some butcher? How would you rather see your children die?
I would rather not contemplate the death of my children, if it's okay with you.
Well, mister, it happened to me, and I am so sorry.
And by the way, what did you mean they were adopted, so it wasn't that bad?
You have children, correct?
Yes, I do have children.
Are they adopted?
They're my stepkids.
Well, until you adopt children, you won't understand that when you adopt a child, it's not quite as bad to lose one as your own. It's bad. Believe me, it's bad. My wife and I mourned those children for a couple of months, but I will tell you, the only thing that saved our sanity was that they were adopted. And
all right, so, sir, you call my program to tell me that you're getting sick and tired of hearing about kids being locked in hot cars and dying, and then you tell me that your two kids died that way because you were protecting them from perverts, and you mourned them a whole 2 months because they were adopted.
And you're judging me.
Yeah, I am judging you.
Well, you have no right to judge me. These kids had parents, at least for part of their... They had no parents in Romania. We gave them some parenting. And the best that we could do for them. And I tried to protect them right when they died. This whole molesting priest story was happening. You think I'm going to leave my kids in an open car so some priest can wander by, pull them out, and do whatever he does with whatever he does it with? No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. I rolled up the windows. I locked them in the car.
Were you mindful of the fact that it might have been a hot day and that those children could be in some danger?
Yes, I was. I was going into a Home Depot. It gets very busy in there, and there are a lot of interesting things in there. What are you asking me?
I'm asking you, were you mindful of the children that you left locked in that car that they could die if it was too hot?
Yes, I was.
And yet you went into a Home Depot or wherever you went into because it's real interesting in there.
Are you a homeowner?
Yes, I am, sir.
All right, then you understand that there are a lot of things. Now, let me ask you something. A hot day or a...
There are a lot of things what?
They had a lot of interesting things. They had a special on garden hose. I had 75 feet of garden hose stolen out of my yard, okay? Now, a hot day or a pedophile, how can you even think there's a choice on how you want your kid to die? I got distracted by the new ceiling fans that they have got, and they are fantastic.
You're a father who lost his children to a heat situation, a heat stroke situation.
That is correct.
And you mourned them, but because they're only adopted, you mourned them for 2 months.
Until you know parents of adopted children, you will never recognize...
Well, I don't believe it. Do you feel somehow not so culpable because they were adopted?
I'm getting tired of hearing these stories about parents being blamed for this and not the fact that we're rolling up the windows to protect them from priests and perverts and all of it. I don't even know what other profession is going to get involved now. I mean, priests, why not? I bet you clowns, circus clowns, are now going to be the next. My children, I used to take them to the Ringling Brothers Zoo, or to the Ringling Brothers Circus, I should say. And now I can't even trust a clown. You see what I'm saying?
I think that what you're saying is pretty pathetic, sir. I think that what you're saying is it's not the parents' fault if a child dies in a car from the heat. It's the fault of society. And the fact that your kids were adopted wasn't so bad. And what do you mean the next profession you can't trust will be circus clowns? 1-800-449-8686. Tell you what, keep this caller on the line. 1-800-449-8686. He's talking about children that are left in hot cars. And we'll see if we can get any suckers. I mean, see if we can get any callers to talk to him and find out if am I alone here? That a father who leaves his kids in a car with the windows rolled up, isn't he culpable to some degree? Or should he be congratulated because at least he was trying to protect them from pederasts, priests, and, oh yeah, circus clowns? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
It's kind of interesting, and yet, in a way, I got to tell you, sir, a little sad. You adopted two children that you lost in an automobile. You left them in a car with the windows rolled up. To find a child in that state has got to be absolutely just heartbreaking and horrific. And this woman in Detroit, that's what happened to her.
And sir, that is what happened to me.
But you're saying because the kids were adopted, it wasn't that big of a deal.
No, sir, I did not say. I said, had they been my own children, I would have mourned them more. But because they were adopted, we mourned them for about 2 days. But, I mean, 2 months, I should say. But the fact is, I did try to protect those children. I left them in the car with the windows rolled up because I didn't want some, as I say, Catholic priest or other pervert coming along and trying to grab them and having sex with them out in an open parking lot. And I don't see why you can't understand that.
Well, the fact is, they died in a hot car, so...
So I try to protect them, that's wrong. I don't protect them, that's wrong. We live in a society right now that's driving parents nuts. And I think it's wrong, dead wrong.
All right, let me go to... I'm going to take some calls, sir.
I beg your pardon?
We're going to take some calls for you.
I'm fine with it, I'm comfortable.
All right. Here is Vivian. Vivian, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
He's got to be nuts. Do you know people that leave their pets in the car go to jail? And he's talking about he loves his kids.
He loves
his kids that much. Why doesn't he just take them in the store with them?
You know as well as I do that parents leave their kids in the car all the time.
No, they don't.
Then
all
you're
the
not
time.
A parent. You're not a parent.
No.
No, you're not a parent.
I'm a 60-year-old woman. I have four kids.
All right. And you never ran into the store? You never ran?
None of my family.
And you never just ran? And you never just ran into the store to get something and ran right back?
No way.
I don't believe
you.
And every parent out there knows that there are times when you run into the store to get something really quick and you run back.
But you didn't run into the store. You were in there looking at garden hoses, ceiling fans.
I went in to get a garden hose, okay? I went in to get a garden
hose. Your attitude that they even let you adopt kids.
Where do most kids get kidnapped? I'll tell you where. In stores, in malls. Where are most kids molested? In the bathroom of the store. And it's better to leave the kid.
Not if the parents are paying attention.
Well, it's impossible.
It's impossible.
You never lost a kid, huh?
No, I didn't.
Well, you know what? You're not a parent because it's impossible to keep an eye on your kid all the time. If you're really a mother, you know that.
I took my four kids to the beach and I had leashes on them. Laces around their waist, so I knew I could protect them from
and you're calling me
water.
Psycho.
You
and you're
leave my kids in a hot car.
And you're calling me psycho, and you got your kids on a leash like a dog.
No, psycho. The word psycho is
like
too nice.
Like a dog. You got your kids on a leash like a pet cat, like a pet llama.
Yeah, and the four of them
like
came home with me at night. They didn't dodge
you know
the car.
Are your kids retarded?
my wife.
What is that supposed to mean?
I'm asking her.
What is that supposed to mean?
I'm wondering if her kids are retarded.
No, then, hon.
The only kids you put on a leash are retards.
Did you teach your kids?
Let me ask you, lady. If you got your kids on a leash, did you teach them to chase sticks too?
You're trying to defend your stupidity.
My stupidity. You got your kids on leashes.
Well, here's a point for this lady.
Yeah.
Her kids are alive.
About the water wine. That's right, because I have to keep an eye on.
And every time I come up for Thanksgiving now, they sit up and beg, don't they?
You're just trying to make up your own stupidity.
My stupidity. Lady, we live in a society where we got Catholic priests running around trying to put it to every little kid out there, all right? We got perverts everywhere. I try to protect my kids, I'm wrong. I don't protect my kids, I'm wrong. Okay? Did you adopt?
No, I didn't. I didn't have to.
Well, no wonder you're feeling nuts.
I was able to have four of my own. Obviously, God didn't want you to have any children because God knows you're not.
No, I had two adopted, okay? So you don't understand.
Adopt them.
Huh?
You can't have children. God wouldn't bless you that way.
So you're blaming my wife, too, huh?
You're sick.
You're blaming... I'm sick, and you got your kids on a leash, and they got a teething ring? What do? Do you get one of those big pieces of rawhide and let them gnaw on it at night?
Oh, every single chance, but
you think you're such a great mother, your brats are humping your...
I know my kids are alive.
You know, you think you're such a great mother, I bet your kids were humping your guests' legs before you trained them like hounds.
Oh, come on, will you? Of course.
Well, I'm not the one with a kid on a leash.
But you are the one with two dead kids.
But they were adopted, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, they shouldn't. Like I said, the good Lord wouldn't let you have any kids because the good Lord knew you were meant to.
Is that right, Vivian? Why don't we light a bonfire and dance around it and see what the witch doctor has to say? The good Lord wouldn't let you.
All right, look.
Did your kids carry a little tin cup and a little hat while you cranked an organ? I mean.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Elise. Elise, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, I would just like to say I am completely enraged and appalled that this person was even allowed to adopt children. And just for the very fact that he considers them being adopted was reason enough to only mourn them for 2 months just adds to his stupidity at the fact that he even left them in a car. Any parent knows.
Do you have any kids?
Yes, I do have kids. I have two children. I've never left them
in a car.
What
are their names?
They're Tommy and Haley.
What's their last name?
Don't tell them your last name.
Does it matter to you?
Yeah, because I don't. A lot of these people claim they got kids, and they wouldn't know a kid from a cat.
No. You know what? You don't know a kid from a cat.
All right, look at Elise. Hold the line. We got to take a break here, okay?
No, but this lady calls me stupid. She calls me this, and she calls me that.
What do you call yourself? How do you explain yourself that you murdered your children? How do you explain yourself? Blame it on everybody else?
An adoptive child never really blends in with the family, so don't try to make me feel guilty.
Why in the heck did you adopt these kids?
Because
you didn't stand to love them as your own children.
We thought they could blend in.
You thought they could blend in, but because they're adopted, they can't.
Elise, let me have you hold on because we are going into a break here. 1-800, Mr. Dozier, you as well. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Here's a guy that lost two children because he left them in a hot car with the windows rolled up. He was only trying to protect them from perverts, and now he says the world is, victimizing these parents.
Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
With Vernon Dozier, you lost two children leaving them in a hot car, sir. Does that at all grab at your heartstrings?
It grabs. Let me say, Phil, that I believe that the children are poor children certainly deserve better, but I think the cops should be out there not looking for me and putting me in jail or putting in mothers who may leave their kids in a car in jail. I think what they should be doing is looking for these pervert priests, circus clowns, people that work in ice cream shops, theme park characters, in short, anyone who has the trust of a child.
Are you seriously telling me that the next wave of child molestation is going to come from theme park characters?
So, in other words, you'll let your kid just wander off with Chip and Dale, is that it?
What do you mean, just wander off?
Would you let your kid just wander off with Chip and Dale, yes or no?
No, I would not.
Well, mister, I don't get that at all.
You don't get that at all. Why? Because you suspect Chip and Dale of being able to molest your kid, but you would still let them go out?
I believe if you can't trust the characters at the theme parks, then what kind of a world do we live in?
So your kid goes off with you. Why would any kid wander off with Chip and Dale?
I don't know, because they want some alone time. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, what you're saying doesn't make any sense, okay?
Well, it saddened me to see those kids slow-cooked golden brown in that in that car. But the fact of the matter remains that I believe with all of my heart and all of my soul that I did the best I could, considering the fact they had a sale on ceiling fans, and I was simply trying...
Yeah, you were simply trying, and being adopted children, too, by the way, callous to say that you only mourned them for 2 months. Doug, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I just want to ask this guy, he's exactly right. He shouldn't be put in jail. He ought to be beat with that 75-foot garden hose, honest to God. This guy...
I should be beat.
Yeah, you should be beat. I'm not a parent. No, I'm not a parent. I'm an adopted kid, and say I didn't fit in, or adopted kids never fit in, that's just...
I didn't say it didn't fit in. I said that you don't love an adopted kid as much as you do a normal one.
No, that is
what
not
are
right.
you talking about? What do you mean a normal one?
No, that is
a
not
regular
right.
one.
No, no.
How do you know? How do you
those
know?
Those people that gave you those kids ought to be the ones thrown in jail too. And you, I mean, that lady was exactly right. God shouldn't have gave you kids, and she didn't give you kids for that reason.
Wait a minute. I had two kids that we loved, all right? As far as you can love an adopted kid. All right? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay. But you would have your kid wander off with Donald Duck or something, right?
No, I wouldn't. I would take the responsibility. Maybe your folks locked you in the car. Maybe they let you wander off with whoever they wanted to. No, that's not how it works. Parents ought to be responsible. You should have been responsible.
Sir, I am trying to protect children from the next wave of perversion that is going to be visited on the American children from circus clowns and ice cream shoppers.
Yeah, okay, we already
That's
heard
wonderful.
That.
That's wonderful. I've heard that
That's
like
great.
50 times
Exactly,
already.
Exactly. Get to the point.
The point is, I would rather those children die in a car around their toys and things they know than in the back of a filthy trailer that's owned by some guy that does children's parties.
I'll tell you what,
those guys...
What? Those kids would probably be the ones doing those child's parties because of parents
you
like
sound,
you.
You sound like you were... Did you ever wander off with a large mouse or anybody, Andy May, anyone like that?
No, I didn't.
All right.
What do you mean wander off with a large mouse?
I mean, did this guy put his trust in a man in a mouse suit?
No, you don't do that when you're a kid.
You don't?
You know, what is the big deal about taking a 6-year-old and a 7-year-old into a frickin' store with you?
Number one, they pull crap off of the shelves, it breaks, you gotta pay for it.
Then
they
run around. Would you rather pay a few dollars, say $1,000 a day, to see your kids alive or not?
Sir, yes I would, to answer your question. But, well, how much are we talking about?
Who cares?
How much? Who cares?
If they broke $1,000 a day... Okay, if they broke $1,000 a day.
Okay, that's on the bubble.
What do you mean? You're talking about the lives.
This guy's talking about $1,000 a day.
Who cares if they break it or not? You would still have your kids.
I
they
mean,
would
the
be alive.
The first thing about kids is they go into stores, they pull things, they break things. Then they're running around looking up everybody's dress. And
okay,
laughing
great.
And pointing and laughing because if somebody's got one leg. I took my kids into a store. There was a woman with one leg. They looked up the dress and they laughed and they pointed.
You know, you are a certain. Because if you were a parent, you would have the responsibility and you would discipline them if they did do that.
Absolutely.
And I did. But they do it and they run around. I guess, I don't know. But they're pulling stuff off the shelves. They've got stuff in the cart. It's better if it's just going in for a quick trip to leave them in the car. And a child
quick trip for garden
hose. Yeah, garden
hose,
ceiling fans. Yeah, you were getting you were in there for how long?
45 minutes.
Yeah, that's a real quick trip.
Yeah.
Look, a child isn't going to wander off with a big mouth or a priest if you got him locked in a car. Would you agree with that?
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, there you go. See?
And no, they'll just die locked in the car, sir.
Yeah.
They'll just die.
Well, my kids pulled off the shelf about $400 worth of an air compressor. It almost landed on a lady's toe, and that could have been a lawsuit. So you want me to go with that, too, huh?
Yep. That's exactly what. That's part of being a parent.
You know what? You guys
when you signed
hardcore.
Up for those
yeah,
kids,
that's
you
right.
Did.
That's right. We're hardcore, sir. And if the air compressor, if it's $1,000 worth of stuff, if it's ceiling fans, if they're looking up somebody's dress and they only got one leg, that's part of the world of children.
Well, these were Romanians. I don't know if they're like regular kids.
They're like regular kids.
Evidently, you weren't like a regular kid. How much crap did you break when you were a kid?
I didn't break any crap, but I wandered off with a guy in a mouse suit. And it...
All right, thanks a lot.
That's where you're messed up, huh?
What a whack job. Thank you very much, Doug.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. I didn't break any crap, but I did wander off with a guy in a mouse suit. And would you let your kid wander off with Chip and Dale? How is that possible? Most kids are afraid of those characters. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You're listening to the Phil Hendry Show. On this program, I do the voices of the guests as well as being myself. Why? Because I can control what they say, and I can actually create a little theater piece for you guys at home. The people who call in, they believe that those characters are real. Now, why do we do this? Well, it's because there's no way you can control a real guest, and real guests aren't anywhere near as entertaining as the made-up ones we have on our program, and don't make as many good points as the made-up ones that we have in our program make. So therefore, on this show, we have probably, I think this program rates as not only the number one talk show, I think it's the number one interview show. My guests are infinitely more interesting than anybody that Larry King has ever had, and that, well, maybe when he had that one time he had on, who was it? He had somebody good on once. Yeah, Liza, that's it. That show was beautiful.
Because she was just saying, hey, Larry, we should brought my husband David Guest and his 16th facelift.
It's fantastic. All right, 1-800-449-8686. From yesterday's show, Chris Norton was demonstrating how in his business, Chris Norton Entertainment, he dances for women in the privacy of their homes so they can see the dance steps that he will eventually teach their husbands so their husbands can arouse the women once again.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Okay, here we go.
I'm too sexy for my love.
Okay, 2, 3, 4,
my love.
1, 2, 3, 4. Now I bend over, I grab my ankles. I hold it. I'm swinging my buttocks back and forth. Now I leap up, now I'm doing jumping jacks. By the way, kill the music, Lance. I want to let everybody know, these moves are copyrighted so that no one can steal them. Okay? Are we on the air?
Yes, we're on the air. You, all right, so in other words...
Yeah, these moves are copyrighted.
You copyrighted these dance moves?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Okay, 2, 3.
I'm too sexy for my love.
Too sexy for my love.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8.
Okay, now I bend over, grab my ankles, and now I'm doing jumping jacks, 2, 3, 4. Now I do a leapfrog over a chair. Now I whip out a copy of the Harlequin Romance that women love to read, and now, boom, I got this clenched between my butt cheeks, and I'm holding the book between my butt cheeks.
Well,
I kind of hold that move for a while. Now here is something that is completely copyrighted, so people won't steal it. Kill the music for a minute, Lance. Kill it. Okay.
Will you come on, man, all right?
What?
I got it, all right? So that you're going to turn the pages of the book with your ass. Is that it?
I'm too sexy.
Okay, here we go.
My love.
Jeez.
Before my love.
2, 3, 4. Okay, here we go. All right, now I bend over and I got...
Forget bending over. I got all of that and I got the jumping jacks. Get to the part where you put the book between the cheeks of your rear end.
Okay. 2, 3, 4. Now the book is between the buttocks cheeks and page turn.
I don't know how you're doing that, man. That's out.
Well, believe me, it takes a lot of... Okay, now I do stretches. I'm grabbing my ankle, I'm holding it. And as simple as that is, it's sexy.
Japan.
Now I'm up on my toes. I'm eating a peach, which is very suggestive, and I let the juice drip down.
As crazy as this sounds, a lot of women like this next move, the hula hoop move. Here I go. Okay. Then I have two major grand final moves. Here comes the first one. Now I'm spanking myself with a hairbrush.
My little turn on the catwalk.
Now I'm slapping myself with a belt.
On the catwalk.
Okay, here comes the next move. Two, three, four.
Ow!
All right, I just did the splits over an egg and I broke it open. Now I'm attaching bacon strips to my nipples with clothes pegs. And now I'll do a somersault over an open watermelon. Now I pretend, this is a move a lot of women like, I'm pretending I'm a dog peeing on a fire hydrant and I don't...
Okay.
Well, what, you didn't...
That's fine, turn your...
Lance, turn it off. What?
I pretend I'm a dog peeing on a fire hydrant.
These are all copyrighted moves, okay?
Well, the cats are going to steal those.
But you don't let me slap the side of my hips like Tracy Partridge playing the tambourine. So I do this woo, you know?
Uh-huh.
And the other thing that I do, a lot of the women out there, oh, here it is. Yeah, a somersault into an open watermelon.
Forget about it, man.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
That's a beautiful thing. Especially that part where the guy's going to somersault into an open watermelon. I think that's, what was the one before that? Can anybody remember all of the moves? How many of you guys listened to that and learned something? Does anybody remember all of the moves that he just did there, that Chris Norton did in that bit? Give us a call. Okay? Now, this is what I call valuable talk radio. 1-800-449-8686. Every single move that he described. Do that for your wife. Do that for your girlfriend. You're living large. Yeah, see, nobody pays attention. I think that was beautiful. I think that was a great piece of material, even though I always get this criticism. Is it news talk? Well, I mean, it's life talk. Me, that's news. Who remembers all the moves? 1-800-449-8686. I guess I got to give them something. Do we have anything in the prize pit? Do we have any prize? What do we give away around here? You know, by the way, those CDs that we sell, they are for sale. All the money goes to a charity. If I get one more phone call from somebody in the business who wants a free CD, I'm going to scream. You pay for it like everybody else. $20, $350 shipping and handling. For the best of the Phil Hendry Show. Look, I don't mean to come on so strong, but we raise money for a charity. It's for a homeless, it's not a shelter, it's a resource center for homeless kids in Hollywood, all right? Every single CD that I have at home of mine, I purchased my money. I don't take any home. You know, I will give you, I'll send you an autographed Chinese food container for my lunch. How about that? I like these people who want to get a free safe. Phil, can I get a copy of your CD? Yeah, go to my website, philhendryshow.com, and log on and buy one. All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Here is, do we have a call up here? George?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you remember exactly which moves they were?
I'm probably not exactly, but I'll get close.
Well, that's not a problem, babe. Just go ahead.
All right, you start out with the, let's see, the first one I forget, but...
How about I'll lead you off, okay?
Okay, give me the first one there.
Bends over and grabs his ankles.
Bends over and grabs his ankles, holds him there, stands up, he wiggles his butt while Chris is doing this, and wiggles his butt a couple of times, leapfrogs over the chair.
Yeah, man, you missed the jumping jacks.
Ah, the jumping
jacks.
Yeah,
there you go, okay. Matt, hi. Matt?
Yeah.
Go ahead, man.
I know you started by grabbing his ankles and
right.
Moving his ass.
Yeah.
And then he went into a calisthenics jumping jack.
Exactly.
And then he, what made me laugh was he leapfrogged over a chair.
Yes.
And then he pulled out a book of a romance book,
exactly.
A romance novel.
Exactly, good.
And he puts it between his butt and
yep.
He somehow turns the pages.
Yes.
And then he starts doing another stretch move and
yep.
Goes to a he eats a peach with a, something with a juice
you
dripping
got,
down his throat. Or
you got it.
And then his patented move was we did it with kid, the hula hoop move.
Yes.
Oh God! And then I know he beats himself with like a brush or
yes.
a stick or something.
Yes.
And then he does a split over an egg. I remember that.
That's exactly right.
And then it's something like he does a somersault in an open watermelon with bacon strips on his nipples or
yes,
something.
Yes, exactly.
With a dog peeing or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, you got it. You got the whole thing, man.
Is that it?
Yeah. You know what we ought to do is...
That was verbatim from work last night. That was a classic.
Dude, I tell you what I'm going to do for you. Have you got your Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt yet?
No, I don't.
All right. Well, we'll send you one.
That would be great.
All right, man. Hold on and I'll get your address. Jeff, could you take this guy's address down on line 3? Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thank you.
All right, pal. There you go. He got. I'm going to send him a Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt free of charge to Matt there. He had it all. You know why? Because he heard the original show yesterday, and then that was a replay. That was a flashback from yesterday's show. But the bacon strips with, you know, clothes pegs. Who came up with that idea? The Janice, you are as mental as they are. No wonder I love you. So very deeply and passionately. Bacon strips. And then, now I'm trying to remember it all. Oh, yeah, yeah, he dove into a watermelon, and then he does the stretch moves, and he's did the splits over the eggs. And then, oh, yeah, the best move of all, the sexiest move of all, and do this for your girlfriend. Lift your leg like you're a dog peeing on a fire hydrant. And that is the culmination of... The Chris Norton Entertainment sex move, man, it is something else. We'll replay that throughout the summer. 1-800-449-8686. Matt got himself one for free, but if you'd like to buy one, the Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirts are available on our website. Small, medium, large, extra large, and extra, extra large. Orders ship 2 to 4 weeks. They're black and silver, and they've got the little badge, the Citizens Auxiliary Police badge over the left breast and the slogan on the back in silver. And also pick up the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt as long as you're perusing our souvenir shop. Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, gorgeous shirt. You can wear it formal. You can wear it casual. It's black and royal blue, and it comes in all men's sizes, and shipment is made within 2 to 4 weeks on that as well. It's the Phil Hendry Show souvenir shop on our Phil Hendry website, philhendrieshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I was talking about the 4th of July and terror threats. I don't know what's going to happen overseas. That's a whole different ballgame over there. I'm just talking about what ain't going to happen here, and what ain't going to happen here ain't nothing. I mean, nothing going to happen here, see? Am I making myself clear? I'm so grateful. But overseas, I don't know. We got embassies. We got a lot of places that we got to protect. They got it in for us. I love listening to some people talk. Here's kind of how it goes. Well, the government can't protect us, and they lie to us anyway, we're not safe. And, guys like Tom Cruise, he's just telling the truth. Tom Cruise is telling the truth. We're not safe in America. Really? Where are you safe? Well, a lot of places. Yeah, like where? You ain't never been anywhere, man. You wouldn't know where you were. How do you know where you're going to be safe, Jim? You ain't been out of your backyard. The government can't protect us. They lie to us anyway. We're not safe. Tom Cruise is right. Did you hear about this? Tom Cruise opened his big fat mouth about something. Frankly, I read the whole quote. It didn't bother me at all. Basically, what the guy is saying is, A, he has joint custody with his ex-wife, Nicole Kidman. B, she lives in Australia, which means the kids are going to be living half the time in Australia anyway, at least. And C, well, as long as he's going to be down in Australia, kind of makes him feel better, because this is a very violent society. Nothing about how he hates his country or anything else. Is this a violent society? Is this a place that isn't... Is this place not safe, America? Is it not safe? I've survived 49 years without having to deal with any real physical violence, nothing at least initiated by somebody else. I probably started a few fights in my day, but then I guess I was just sort of a young rapscallion. Unsafe? How unsafe do you really feel? Is it because you're reading the newspaper and watching television? Is that why you feel unsafe? Or because you've actually had your ass kicked a few times, been knocked over, been mugged, had your home burglarized, been raped? I understand many people have suffered that. It's a country of 250 million people. I would imagine that a few of us have had some bad luck. There's no doubt about it. I've had bad luck in my life. It hasn't had much to do with violence, necessarily. It's had to do with bad life choices. But nonetheless, if you look at the world and the world that you live in, I would venture to say that most people listening to me right now have never really been victimized by anything more violent than a bad head cold, and they're really afraid of nothing. They're afraid of what they're seeing on television and what they're hearing in the newspaper. And in other words, it's like that lens on a camera that gets out of focus. You got to see the world through a focused lens, as a wise man once said to me. You got to focus that lens, baby. And if you're looking at things out of whack, it's because you don't really have any practical experience with the world. You're watching too much television. You're listening to too many commentators. You're assuming that this is a horribly violent society because, after all, that's what they say on television. And the FBI statistics bear it out. And the statistics from the CIA bear it out. And the cops tell you this. And the fire department tells you that. What have you actually tasted of this world in terms of violence, in terms of this being an unsafe place? Probably nothing. You're probably just as safe today as your parents were 40 years ago or your grandparents were 60 or 80 years ago. But the reason why you don't feel safe is because of what they're telling you, not what you've experienced. That's why you don't feel safe, because some guy says he's going to, you know, fasten the seatbelts, America, I'm going to blow you up. Or because you better watch out, you better not cry, Al-Qaeda's coming to town and I'm telling you why. Or there's somebody who said that they know someone who knew someone who knew someone who got raped. Or there was a girl who got hit up here on the trail. Or there's a guy here who got lost his car. You know, this becomes hysteria. I mentioned it yesterday. It becomes a hysterical environment where you start seeing things. I mean, literally, you start seeing things and you start hearing things. And that's the definition of hysteria, paranoid hysteria. You start imagining stuff. Well, what do you mean, Phil? What do I mean? Well, okay. I'll give you an example. You ever been at home late at night and you're watching a really good horror movie and you suddenly get up and you start locking doors and closing windows and maybe drawing the blinds? Why? Because there's a horror movie on TV? Any other night, you'd be sitting there having yourself an apple, smoking a cigarette or a cigar, shooting pool, having a drink. You don't care. But because there's a horror movie on TV, suddenly suggestibility comes into play. That's what hypnosis is all about. Are you a suggestible person? Well, have you ever yawned when you saw somebody else yawn? You're suggestible. If you've yawned after seeing somebody else yawn, you can be hypnotized. And if you're ever one of these people who gets up and locks the doors and closes the windows after you see a horror movie on TV, you're doubly suggestible. Which means if some clown comes on TV and says, "Be careful this July 4th weekend because we could all die," that means you haven't had a solid bowel movement in 2 weeks. Because you're freaking out over a lot of information. Some of it may be valid, but it's up to you to filter through this stuff. This is what I try to teach people on this show. This is what this program is all about. This is the charter. This is the movement that the Phil Henry is all about. Oh, you want me to break? Okay. I should shut up and go to commercial? All right. Anyway. No, I mean it. If ever I tell you anything you got to listen to, this is what you got to listen to, man. This show is devoted to telling you that information is simply that information. You can do with it what you want, and your life is your life. The rest of it's bullcrap that should be raked through for any usable fertilizer. Otherwise, flush it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
And now more
on the Bill Hendry Show.
Got Dave Oliva with us. Dave is a criminal justice student at L.A. Mission College, and he's also aspiring L.A. Police Department, Police Academy member, eventually wanting to move into the ranks of the police. You have some thoughts on July 4th and on the security of the country?
Well, Mr. I don't think it's clear whether Al-Qaeda is going to let us have a 4th of July. I mean, we have 2 days in which to get the message out to Al-Qaeda that we know we can't protect ourselves from them, and we realize we are at their mercy, but what we can do is show Al-Qaeda that we're trying to take steps to show them that we're not, that we do have some respect and we're not as evil as they think we are.
What do you mean Al-Qaeda's not going to let us have a 4th of July?
I'm just saying it's not clear yet whether Osama bin Laden and these other people that work for him are going to let us have a 4th of July. Especially since I just read in the paper that we blew up a wedding over there or something.
Well, that was an errant. That was a wrong attack. I mean, the people, apparently the party guests, were shooting in the air because they were having a good time. And
well, I mean, Al-Qaeda is going to be doubly pissed, is all I'm trying to say, okay? I mean, we're trying to show them that we're not evil, and then we just blew up a bride and groom to kingdom come. I mean, what's that about, you know? But if you think about it, Al-Qaeda has no reason to believe that we're mending our ways. So unless we send them a message, I mean, we're going to be in for it on July 4th.
I just got done telling my audience that I don't believe anything is going to happen on July 4th perpetrated by Al-Qaeda here on our soil. And you're saying we're in for it on July 4th? Why?
Because of the fact that we have not shown them that we have mended our ways. One of the ways that we can show them that we don't want to make them angry and to try and gently lift the finger off of the trigger is to, and I know this is a big step, but right now, if you think about it, we pray to God in the Christian religion. And I'm not saying that we don't be Christian, but why can't we call God Allah too? Okay?
Are these things being done to show Al-Qaeda what? That we are not as evil as they think they are?
That we're not as evil as they think we are, and that we don't want to have nothing happen on July 4th, okay? I mean, we're trying to show them that we are trying to understand them. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, what happened on July 4th? If we would have known that they were going to do that, maybe we would have changed, made some of these changes.
You're asking Christians to now refer to God as Allah.
Well, look at the Pledge of Allegiance. One nation under God. Okay, that's what everybody's getting upset about. But I'm saying if you could change it to one nation under Allah, now all of a sudden, okay, you see what I'm saying?
No, I don't see what you're saying. It's the same thing. And I don't think you're going to get Christians to say Allah.
Well, I mean, what we're looking at right now is that Al-Qaeda has their finger on the trigger, okay? And they have their finger on the trigger to maybe do something on July the 4th. So it seems to be all the Al-Qaeda wants is for us to pray to Allah, okay?
Well, I think they want us to be Muslim, to be Islamic.
But I'm saying if we do a good faith demonstration. Now, the other thing is to hold a prayer vigil instead of fireworks ceremonies to ask Al-Qaeda to spare us, because that's the most important thing. We need to ask them to spare us. We've been looking over our shoulders for too long. I mean, Mr. Henry...
This all sounds very un-American on July the 4th, not to have fireworks, to have prayer vigils, and to ask Al-Qaeda to spare us. Do you understand that we're fighting these people?
No, I know, but they can strike. Yeah, we're fighting them, but they can strike anytime they want to. This way we can make gestures and then wait for their response.
Well, how do you think they're going to respond? So we're going to say, we're going to use the word Allah. We're going to have a prayer vigil. We're going to try not to offend the Al-Qaeda so that they don't do what? So that they don't attack it?
So they don't attack us on 4th of July, okay? Because if you think about it, 4th of July is the anniversary of America, okay? Think about it. When's the most logical time that they would attack us? Think about it.
And I've thought about it, man. A million people have already thought about it. I'm way ahead of you on this one, okay? I know that 4th of July...
All right, at this time, Mr. Henry, I'm afraid I have to let you know that we are sitting ducks waiting for them to get us. And let me tell you something. My cousin is in school in Hamburg, Germany, and he sometimes has a few beers with these Al-Qaeda-type guys. He can get a message through to bin Laden and Al Jazeera. And all we have to do is let them know...
You're pretty nervous about this, aren't you?
Yeah, you're not?
I mean, no, you know, I'm not, really. No, I'm not. And I don't want to sit here and tell my audience that...
Well, okay, man, then you're... You know, I mean, you are being... I hate to say it, you're being stupid. What I'm trying to say to you...
I'm being stupid, so I'm going to sit here and I'm going to pray to Allah, and I'm going
to...
We
have to let Al-Qaeda know that we're okay, that they don't need to bomb us, they don't need to explode us. God, I mean...
You're nervous about this, and the way to get them off our back...
The way to get their finger off the trigger, man, is to say, okay, please don't do it.
And have prayer vigils?
And have prayer vigils to Allah.
Not to God.
Not to God, no. That's the one thing that pisses them off. That's the one thing that pisses them off. Why do we keep on pissing them off when you know that they're going to explode bombs over here, too?
I'm going to give my phone number out here, Dave, okay?
What?
I'm going to give our phone number out. Okay?
Yes, sir. All right.
1-800-449-8686. Well, there are a lot, 1-800-449-8686. There are a lot of people, I don't happen to be one of them, that are afraid that we're going to have some kind of an attack on July the 4th. And Mr. Oliva, you are...
Let me tell you something, Mr. Henry. First of all, I'm an aspiring LAPD police department, okay? I mean, I've devoted my life to becoming LAPD, okay? I know a little bit about the criminal mind, okay? And I'm telling you right now, if you are sitting there and you don't believe that there's... that they are not pissed off at us, okay?
No, I believe they're pissed at us. I don't know whether they're going to actually hit us on July 4th.
Well, if you don't believe that they're so pissed off, we can keep it from happening if we pray to Allah, if we do prayer vigils, and make sure that they don't have us by the short and curlies, okay?
Well, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go out with my kids and be afraid to go watch fireworks and have a barbecue and have friends over. It's the 4th of July. It's our holiday, and I believe what the president said. Go out, have fun.
Okay, all right. You go out and have your fun, okay?
That's what I'm going to do.
Go out, do your fireworks, have fun, and tell me if this is fun when a guy with a truck packed with explosives runs over your kid.
Look at sir.
Do you think that's fun, Mr. Henry? Do you think it's fun when you go have a barbecue in your backyard, somebody walks up to you and blows and explodes himself?
In my backyard, huh?
Well, I don't know where. And another thing you have to understand, for us to have these big fireworks displays on the 4th of July is going to reinforce that we think we're arrogant and we think we are all that. And that's the whole thing that pisses them off. If we have big fireworks displays, Al-Qaeda is going to go, look at that, America thinks they're all that, okay, they think they're all that. And we ain't none of that, man. We have to let Al-Qaeda know that we will not have those fireworks, and please don't blow us up.
You're going to be a cop, huh?
That's God willing, I'll be a cop.
Well, man, I mean, you know, it, rather than prevent the crime, you're telling us how to...
This is exactly what I'm trying to do. Exactly.
Yeah, but coppers let people live their lives, don't they?
No. Cop, let me tell you something. I know about being a cop, Mr. Henry. That's what I'm going to be for the rest of my life. Cops let people know what they can do so that they don't get exploded and get blown up. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think it's funny that Al-Qaeda will replace our guards with dynamite and put that on the barbecue? Do you think it's funny that they can...
Well, you're talking about a far-reaching program.
I am telling you that Al-Qaeda has plans that they can take... barbecue meats, the stewing beefs, and also the tri-tips, and replace it with explosives so that when you put it on a barbecue, it will be blown up.
Is there intelligence to this effect?
I'm sorry?
Is there intelligence to the effect that Al-Qaeda has somehow compromised barbecue meat?
The word is, I told you, I have a friend who is has beers with these guys, okay?
Has your friend been debriefed by CIA?
So far, no, sir, I do not think that he has.
Well, I think that your friend ought to talk to CIA and FBI if he has information on Al-Qaeda using tri-tip to disguise dynamite.
Also, the other thing he was talking about, that they can use C4 in barbecue sauce, and the next thing you know, you're basting a tri-tip, and then the next thing you know, you are not even alive.
So these are the things that we have to realize, and these are the things that I think are important for our people to realize with the 4th of July.
I think that if your cousin, your friend over there in Germany, has access to Al-Qaeda and has heard these guys talking about replacing barbecue sauce with C4, he needs to talk to the FBI.
Well, I mean, this is all anecdotal, okay?
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's all anecdotal.
No, but I'm telling you right now. The President of the United States said to be aware of everything. I'm being aware of everything. You can go down to the beach. You can go into the ocean. What if you're wading in acid, man? You go out into the ocean and suddenly, it's acid. Okay? And
how do they replace the ocean water with acid?
I don't know, man, but I'm trying to tell you. You could go out into the ocean. I go, okay, I think I'll go surfing, man, and go out there and just, you'll hear people crying, man, because it's hydrochloric acid.
C4 covered in barbecue sauce.
That's correct. And the other thing that I heard about Al-Qaeda putting hydrochloric acid into the ocean, you could look down, now you have no leg. You walked in to the ocean to go surfing, to go body surfing, to go wading, or maybe wakeboarding, you look down, now there is no leg, and you crawl back up to your town. Can you imagine how you'd feel if you were the one that handed your kid what you thought was a hot dog, and it's a stick of dynamite?
If you have information...
No, I don't. I am simply saying that the American people are stupid if they don't recognize how Al-Qaeda can come in many different forms and many different ways.
I seriously question the hydrochloric acid in the ocean.
Well, okay, man, but I'm telling you right now, these things are all within the possibility of Al-Qaeda based upon information that we have received, information we're getting out of the caves of where they are living.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Look, Dave, I don't disrespect the fact that you're training to be a police officer.
Thank you.
I just, you know, as a layman, it's a little scary to listen to a guy talking about how, you know, hot dogs are going to be replaced with sticks of dynamite, etc.
I'm just saying, man, what we should do is pray to Allah. You can say, Allah, who art in heaven, or God, just change the name of God to Allah. And then the other thing we do is have prayer vigils on July the 4th, not fireworks displays, prayer vigils to show Al-Qaeda that we mean them no harm.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. And Dave Oliva, aspiring police officer, says that we need to let Al-Qaeda know that we're chilled out and we're peaceful. We should pray to Allah, not God, and have prayer vigils, not fireworks displays. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
What were you saying, Dave, about the fireworks?
No, I'm just saying, Mr. Henry, that shooting off fireworks is a great way for the Al-Qaeda to set off explosives because they look the same, okay? People will be smiling and they'll be looking up at fireworks while their kid just got blown up right beside them, okay? If you look up smiling, just like the McAuliffes did when their daughter got blown up in the Challenger, and meanwhile your kid just got blown away.
What are you saying? Al-Qaeda's going to blow kids up while we're looking up at the...
Well, everybody's distracted by the fireworks display. I'm just trying to let people know, and I'm just trying to let everybody know, you know, how we can make ourselves... You going to drink Tang this weekend?
What?
Are you going to drink Tang this weekend?
I don't usually drink Tang.
What about Kool-Aid?
My kids drink Kool-Aid.
Okay, I got one word for you. Jonestown.
Get out of here, man. I mean, you got to get an organized... What kind of...
I don't know. I'm simply going on the threat analysis done by the FBI. The threat analysis that they did. Yes, sir.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Diane, go ahead.
Yeah. My name is Diane Lynn Bolton, and I'm not afraid to give my name. So I don't know who you are.
But if I could,
I'd get your phone number, and I'd also get your name.
My name's Dave Oliver, okay? And my phone number is...
Don't give phone numbers out, okay? So, second of all, terrorism is based on fear. I'm a red-blooded, 42-year-old, single American woman. And these cars don't run. You got that, buddy? I'm not afraid of anything. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
But that's a bunch of Jesus
freaks. Is going to happen, I fear no evil. I don't fear. That's what they want. You're not getting my fear because I'm not afraid.
What about the barbecue sauce?
I think you're on drugs.
What about the barbecue sauce?
What?
What about the barbecue sauce I was telling you about? You don't know.
I think you're on acid. I think you're drinking barbecue sauce that's got acid in it.
Hey,
okay? And you're trying to make people afraid. You're probably paranoid yourself. I don't know what kind of cop you are or who you are. I don't believe you, buddy. But I'll tell you what.
Okay, I'll tell
There's
you something
right now. There's a lot of Americans
that
are standing right behind me right now, and they're all saying, we are not afraid. But, you know, but you're just,
I'm not saying you shouldn't pray, okay?
In your own way.
No, I love my country,
afraid,
okay?
I'm not afraid. You got that?
Okay, I'm not saying you shouldn't
afraid.
Pray.
These cars
okay?
don't run,
you walk
buddy.
Through the valley of prayer as long as you say Allah, not God. That's all I'm saying, okay? So.
Not only am I going to say God,
no,
but I'm going to say in the name of Jesus Christ,
no,
I fear no evil.
That
and I have the right as an American to say that.
No, you just
now, I'm not going to say Allah any more than if a crazy Christian walked up to me and said, you need to say Jesus in order to get to heaven, okay?
You're nuts,
I believe what I believe, not because someone tells me to do it.
Well, Diane, I agree with you. This is Phil Hendry.
Oh, Mr. Hendry, you're doing a disservice by agreeing with this hysterical
Mr. Hendry, I appreciate
and don't
you giving
call,
me time on
and
the air.
Don't call this woman a bitch.
I've never even called a radio station in my life.
Well, wait a second.
I just want you to know that...
Mr. Hendry, this bitch is trying to say that...
Don't call her a bitch.
Let me tell you somebody. I don't care what you call me because everybody is listening to you, and you sound like an idiot, okay?
An idiot?
These cars don't run. I'm not afraid. I don't care if they... I've got a two-year-old child. My child. It's my name, okay? I'm telling you, you can stick a gun. I'm not saying as a human being I'm going to be afraid, but I'll tell you what. You are just like Bin Laden. That guy didn't even have the guts. He didn't have the guts to put his name on what he did. He's a coward. He's a fool. But I'll tell you what. Those boys over there doing their job, they're not afraid. They'll give you their names, their dog tags, and everything else, okay, buddy?
Right on, Diane.
We are not afraid.
Can I say something
now? We're not going to be afraid. Not now, not ever.
Okay.
Not from the beginning and not till the end, buddy.
What if you get blown up? Then you'll be afraid.
I guess if she
Let
gets blown...
Let me tell you something. If I ever got blown up, I'd be an angel upside. I'd be an angel up in heaven. Throw the courage down to the people that are not afraid.
Well, okay.
You got that?
Are you 45?
Just like anybody that perished in the World Trade Center. Let me tell you something. There's so much power in their families. And so much power in their angels. They're
first of all,
angels
Diane, if you're 45 and you're single, you don't need hot dogs.
Okay?
Wait a minute, if you're 45 and single, you don't eat hot dogs. I know that for a fact. You know why? Because you're 45 and single.
Wait, Phil, let me tell you something.
Yeah, he's...
I appreciate you letting me
Well,
say
thank
it.
You very much. I think
you said
it very well. You said it very well, Diane.
Afraid,
if you're 45 and single, you don't eat hot dogs.
What do you mean she doesn't eat hot dogs if she's 45 and single?
Think about it, man.
Jesus. 1-800-449-8686. Here is... hold on for a minute. Here is Andrew on the Phil Hendry Show. Andrew?
Andrew, hello.
Go ahead, sir.
I want to explain something to this guy. He's ignorant. He doesn't... He want to change God, Allah into God. Oh, God
into
Allah.
I'm just saying, you can be a Christian, okay? But just call him Allah. Don't call him God.
No. Allah means the moon God.
Moon
and
God?
And the Quran says... The moon god married the sun. And in the Quran, a verse says the marriage of the moon to the sun, he got three daughters, Munat, Walati, Wazay. In the Quran.
Winona and
so,
who?
So we can't
we can
change God into Allah, which
are you talking
Allah
about
is the moon.
What are you talking about moon and God for, man? I'm talking about...
He wasn't talking about moon and God.
He says that he won't change God into Allah. Allah means the moon God. We never worship the moon.
Is you Islam?
No.
You're not Islam?
No.
What are you, man?
We studied this in the Quran.
Okay. All I'm trying to say is you can, like, do a prayer vigil and bow down to Mecca, but you don't have to be no Islam. You can just bow down and everything.
No,
that way they won't get pissed off, man, because right now Al-Qaeda is pissed off, and you're just making it worse, man, by giving me all kinds of... You give me a headache with all this.
You can't say change God into Allah.
I got it already, okay?
This has never happened.
I got it, okay.
You want to change?
Yes.
He wants to change God into Allah.
You can't change God into Allah.
That's what Jesus said. I just met him.
Well, that's fine. You just flew in?
Where'd you just fly in from?
No, he didn't. He just heard you.
All right.
Okay.
Well, listen, Andrew, thank you very much, sir. That was great.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you are right, man. I'm down with you, you know?
All right, thanks very much, sir.
Welcome, bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Andrew? So, the best I can figure it out, he says that Allah had three daughters named Winona, Naomi, and Ashley.
No, he did not. Winona and Naomi. John, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. John?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, go right ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I just want to comment on the gentleman, a couple of his topics here. First of all, he says he's going to be or training to be a police officer.
I'm studying to be a LAPD, yes, sir.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. If you have a drug dealer that's running the local neighborhood, say crack dealer, whatever it may be, cocaine, and he's the top pyramid of the drug dealers, and he's threatening the people in the neighborhood, so as the police force goes in to stop him and the lower-level drug dealers up to the hierarchy of drug dealers, and he either kills somebody or hurts somebody in the neighborhood, are you going to back off as a police officer now and not arrest this gentleman?
Okay, I'm a little bit lost. Could you do that again? Because
you didn't hear what he said.
I heard it, but I don't.
Okay,
say it again.
You're saying that on the 4th of July, if I go out and watch my local fireworks, I have hot dogs and barbecue sauce, that I'm basically saying America's great, and I'm going to piss Al-Qaeda off, and then that is a reason that they are going to bomb us and so on. So
that's right. Exactly. Man, they're going to get pissed off if you're out sucking on dogs and doing all that stuff.
Okay, well, that's the analogy I'm trying to use. As an LAPD, you have a local drug dealer who is at the top of the pyramid of all the drug dealers in the area, and you start busting all the lower drug dealers. The guy at the top gets pissed off at you, the police officer, starts murdering people in the neighborhood. Are you going to back off now and not arrest this guy because of his intimidation?
What?
Are you not going to...
Are you not hearing what this man is saying?
I did. I don't know what he's talking about.
If we don't go in and take care of these people that are doing whatever, and we change our whole way of life due to
the guy. Are you talking about the guys in the crack house now?
No, I'm talking about anybody, whether it be drug dealers, Al Qaeda, anything that does with terrorism. For instance, hostage negotiations. The American law enforcement, we have a no deal.
Do you talk about drug dealers? Are they selling fireworks on the 4th?
Drug dealers are not selling fireworks on the 4th. He's talking about a crack house in your neighborhood being a metaphor for the terrorists that are working in the world.
But I don't know what metaphor means, okay?
It's an example.
Basically, what I'm saying is,
okay,
I'm sure...
Do you think it's bad to say Allah?
Forget about Allah. He's talking about Al-Qaeda.
Allah has nothing to do with this. Allah... one word for Allah is God. You know, I have to disagree with that also. Whether I believe in Allah, Abba.
Buddy, you watch too much NYPD Blue, man. You got it all mixed up. First thing you have to do is you have to go in and kick ass on crack dealers, okay? And
that's what he's telling you to do with Al Qaeda.
We're going to kick ass on them.
Yeah, by having prayer vigils, bending and praying to the east, and calling God Allah. Patrick, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I'd just like to say that this guy that's trying to be a police officer.
Yes, sir. I'm trying to be LAPD. Like, you know, hopefully, God willing.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let y'all in on a little secret. I'm 19 years old. I'm calling from North Little Rock. All right. People like you, we kind of consider them to be like crack addicts and stuff. Have you listened to what the hell you're saying?
I'm a crack addict, huh? I'm talking about Al-Qaeda, which is going to attack America, which even the FBI says that it will. And on July the 4th, everybody says is the big day because, I don't know whether you know this or not, that happens to be a huge holiday for the United States of America, okay? And I'm on crack.
Let me tell you something. We live in America, okay?
Yeah.
This is America.
What am I saying? How do you figure I'm on crack?
Pardon me.
How do you figure I'm on crack?
Yeah, I am. Would you let me finish?
Well, you called me a
friend. I listened to you, so you can listen to me. It's just the courteous thing to do.
Yeah, but it's more fun to listen to me, don't you think?
No. I want to listen to this man.
Yeah, but I'm better at like talking than he is.
Would Go ahead, just, Patrick.
Hey,
just say.
Pardon me. Thank you, sir.
You know what, mister? You're calling me a crack whore, and you're going to hand your child a steak laced with biological warfare, and you're calling me crack?
Let me tell
okay.
you something. I don't have a child yet. When I do, though, I will feed them hot dogs. That's all American.
Yeah, but is it going to have anthrax on it?
The water thing, the acid in the water, you're crazier than a damn field lark. You've got to be kidding me. You have to have such a concentrate of that acid.
You could crawl out of the water with no legs, man. Then you tell me about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me tell you something. This is America. We don't back down to nobody.
Hey, man, I know where I am, okay? I know it's America.
We do not bend over. We do not say, hey, we're sorry. We're sorry that...
Yeah, I spent like 30 days in county, man. You talk about not bending over. And the other thing is that everybody says Allah is bad. What difference does it make?
It's not Allah.
And then another thing...
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah?
Excuse me. Do you believe in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes, I do.
One nation under God.
Under,
I don't care what
difference
they say
does it
in
make?
San Francisco.
It could be Allah.
Under God.
It could be Allah. You can say one nation
it
under
is
Allah.
Allah.
Why not?
Because
you don't even know what that means, man.
Oh, don't start that.
You know something, man? You go into the acid ocean, your name's going to be Bob. And you can get all that all-American hot dog jam right up your little rock of yours. And it's
okay, get out of here. Thanks very much.
Sounds like the guy had an orgasm there.
All right. So, what did we learn? We learned that Al-Qaeda tomorrow will be lacing your steaks with biological warfare and what else? Oh, yeah. Check the hot dog in your bun. It might be a stick of dynamite. And they're going to put C4 into the barbecue sauce. And while you're looking up at the fireworks display, they'll be blowing your kid up next to you. All of that and more. You know, it sounds idiotic, but there's people... And what did that guy mean, crazier than a field lark? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So let's see, the family's back tomorrow, which means I got to sit down and watch all of my kids' movies again. You know, occasionally when they leave town, you got the TV to yourself, and you can watch fine adult fare like Training Day, which, even though I thought it was a little over the top, I actually enjoyed just the sheer violence of that film. There's something cathartic about it. I don't know, there's something I recognize in Training Day. I think I see myself in the Denzel Washington character in the way that I run this show. Something like that. Something really contrived, and I'm really reaching now. Anyway, so I get to watch that and, you know, other movies that I find interesting. Now, when they get home, it's Saving Silverman, every Adam Sandler movie that was ever made, Dumb and Dumber, and let's not forget Spider-Man. My daughter, Miss Congeniality, Coyote Ugly. Oh, my God. Hey, Catherine, are you watching?
Something that the brothers don't want to watch.
Well, what is it?
It's Miss Congeniality and
Coyote Ugly. She knows it. So, did you ever see, what was it? Did you ever see the life story of Elvis Presley where he knew every line of Rebel Without a Cause? He knew every line. He'd seen the movie so many times, he knew every line in that movie. My kid, she knows every line out of Coyote Ugly. And then, of course, I made the big, big, big test. This was it at the table one morning. I go, Carrot Top's on tonight. Oh, yeah, cool. All right, now there I go. Okay, great. Now I got it. Thank you. I just wanted to, you know, that's when I went and I got the German Luger that my father handed down to me that he took off of a Nazi in World War II, put the barrel just to the roof of my mouth and made a clicking noise. And I said, no, I've got too much to live for, meaning NBC. Now, anyway, so Saving Silverman, which actually is kind of funny. Steve Zahn, is that the actor who's in Saving Silverman? He's also in a movie called Happy Texas. Jack Black, who's a riot and a half. That guy's a very funny guy. But the other guy I don't get. That other cat from American Pie, I don't get. Is he supposed to be funny, that guy? Anyway, it's a good flick. Yeah. All the Adam Sandler movies that you'd ever want to see. Mystery Men, X-Men. Just doesn't end. Go to rent a movie. What do you want to rent? Dumb and Dumber. How many times have you seen it? Oh, well, I've only seen it three times. Ace Ventura. And then I got to get into arguments with these guys because naturally, even though they're only 14, they've been around since the beginning of time. Yeah, the first Jim Carrey movie was Dumb and Dumber. No, it wasn't. Yeah, what? No, it was not. I saw him in Peggy Sue Got Married. I saw him in a lot of movies. Okay, well, what was that? Well, it was like 1980. No, I'm talking about a movie that he was... All right, well, the first one was the Ace Ventura movies. No, it wasn't. Yes, it was. I'm the adult. I know. Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber. Kind of a dumbass are you in all the Jim Carrey movies. And, well, you're right about that. Man in the Moon... what's the last one he did? I don't know. Me, Myself, and Irene, The Majestic. Who the hell knows? I stopped watching his movies after Liar, Liar. Which actually I think is very funny. That's the best Jim Carrey movie ever made. Liar, Liar. That's it right there. I don't care about any of the other ones. That one is a riot and a half, man. It shows everything that guy can do and more. That and Cable Guy. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. You know, we talk so much about movies around here. How come I don't get any calls from guys, like, inviting us to the big premieres, like Spike Jonze did that time and never called again? How about that? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.